Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend.
The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Chulin daf chav gimel. The mission of the Gemara on today's daf on the Amud Beis says as follows. Boi Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira questioned the following. If somebody made a neder, he made a promise that he's going to bring as a carbon breads of toida, either from chametz or from matzah. He's not specifying whether it's going to be chametz, whether it's going to be matzah. It's going to be one of the two. Unspecified which one. And he's going to have to bring the breads of the toida from either chametz or matzah. Vehevi seyor. And then he brought, to fulfill this vow, he brought seyor. It's a type of bread that's questionable. If it's chametz or if it's matzah. Mahu. So what's the halacha? Did he fulfill his neder? Did he fulfill his vow? So the Gemara goes on to explain what type of seyor it's talking about, and according to what opinion are we going on that we have such a discussion. So the Gemara says, seyor de man, which type of seyor? In other words, a seyor that who recognizes it, that it's considered seyor. There's a machlokes in Masechta Pesachim as what is defined as seyor, what's called seyor. And there's another machlokes as what is the halacha of seyor. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda here disagree what seyor is and what the halacha is. So is here the Rabbi Meir, Lidas, Rabbi Yehuda, if it's the type of seyor that the Meir calls seyor, in other words, that it got a browned, the cover of it got browned, and you're questioning what the halacha is according to Yehuda, such a thing would not be a suffix. Such a thing is not a question. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Meir considers as being seyor, Rabbi Yehuda considers it as being regular matzah. So it's pure matzah. If it's pure matzah, so certainly he fulfilled his neder, he fulfilled his vow. You're clarifying about, you're having a doubt about the type of seyor that Rabbi Yehuda considers seyor. In other words, it looks like Hanech Hagavim. It has cracks like the horns of grasshoppers. And you're questioning what the halacha is according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says chametz. According to Rabbi Meir, such a thing is vadai chametz, is certainly chametz, and you can't be mesopik about such a thing. The Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir, and Elama, you're going to have your questioning about Rabbi Meir's type of seyor, according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So that also wouldn't be a good question. Midalaki alei chametz. Rabbi Meir says that his type of seyor, he'll get malchus if he eats it. So therefore, certainly such a thing is for sure chametz. If he's getting malchus, it must be for sure chametz. And if it's for sure chametz, so then he certainly fulfilled his neder. He certainly fulfilled his vow by bringing such bread. Ela, tebihuda lebihuda. The safik must be, according to the opinion of Yehuda, the type of seyor of Yehuda. Yehuda's type of seyor that it has horns are like the grasshopper. And according to his opinion that he holds that it should get burnt. So, in other words, according to Yehuda, it's in between. It's a gray, it's a quasi type of chametz. He can't eat it, but there's no malchus. It's not the vadai chametz. So Zira Reb Zeira had a question. If somebody will bring that seyor to fulfill such a vow that he made, Would it be a fulfillment of the vow or not? My, so that the Gemara has a topic, what's the halacha, does he fulfill his vow or not? And that the Gemara says, what's the explanation of the two possibilities? What's the sophic of Reb Zeir? To explain it better, what the sophic is, Sveika havi v'nafik mimanashach. Do I say that according to Yehuda, when it's Seir, it's a sophic chamet sophic matzah? It's one of the two. Do I say that Seir is either chamet or it's matzah? It for sure fits into one of the two categories. We just don't know which one. But it's for sure one of the two. And if that's the case, so this person who made a neder to bring either chametz or matzah, he indeed fulfilled his neder because he brought either chametz or matzah. I don't know. The other possibility is, perhaps, birio v'loy nafik. Perhaps, perhaps, seyer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a new thing. It does not fit into the category of chametz. It does not fit into the category of matzah. It's its own classification. And if it's its own classification, a category of its own, so then he did not fulfill his neder by that he brought this type of seyar for the carbon. So then the Gemara asks, that where's the whole shayla nogeya? Anyways, if somebody says that they're going to bring Lachmei Toida, Rav Huna says if someone makes a neder to bring the breads of a Toida, he has to bring both the carbon of the Toida, the animal of the Toida, together with the bread. So in other words, once he obligates himself to bring bread of a Toida, he has to bring the whole carbon. So here also, once he made a neder to bring breads, no matter whether he's talking about the chametz breads, the matzah breads, he's going to have to bring a full set of 40 breads, 30 matzah, 10 chametz, and whether you say that these breads of Seyar are considered a beria bifnei atzma, whether you say that it's a sofik chametz, sofik matzah, either way, he won't be able to fulfill his obligation until he'll bring 30 matzah and 10 of chametz. And so therefore there's no application, there's no real practical application of your sofik of Reb Zeir. As I refer to the Gemara, so the Gemara says, it's talking about, Reb Zeir was talking about a person that made a neder to bring Esther Chalois to exempt somebody else's Toida. It's talking about a case where somebody else obligated themselves to bring a carbon Toida. And being that somebody else has a neder, has a vow to bring a carbon Toida, that other person, must bring breads with it. And now we have our person that wants to exempt the other person from his obligation of bringing the breads. Suppose, in other words, let's give names for simplicity. Suppose Reuven made a vow to bring a carbon of a toida. Then Shimon came along and he made a neder that he's gonna exempt Reuven from his obligation of the breads, because he will supply some of the breads of the carbon in Reuven's stead. So the Gemara says, still it's a problem. Soif, soif, holo yoda ha-gavra, ichamotu delaisi matzah, imatza delaisi chametz. Still, how is he going to satisfy, how is he going to free the... How is this person who's bringing just breads going to free the person who's bringing the carbon toida from anything? Because he, the one bringing the carbon toida, will certainly have to make sure that he brought 30 matzah and 10 chametz. And the only way he can be certain is only if he'll bring 30 that are for sure matzah and 10 that are for sure chametz. And these sayers, in essence, are not going to save him anything. And if they're not going to save him anything, so then why are you having any sophic about whether this Seir is chametz or matzah? So Gemara says, Leitzvicha dole amr liftoir. Tarot says, the Gemara says, that this Shimon, who's trying to exempt the Reuven from his obligation of bringing the breads, he didn't say he's going to make sure that Reuven won't have to bring breads. He's not really freeing Reuven of his obligation, Reuven might have to anyways bring the same amount of breads as he would have had to bring without Shimon. Maybe Gavi they need enough because they know if you take. The Gemara says Reb Zeir's question is only if Shimon made a nether that he's going to supply breads. So even if he doesn't free Reuven of anything, he has his own obligation to make sure that he contributes breads to the Toida of Reuven. And therefore, that's where the Sofik of Reb Zeir is applicable. And the Gemara comes to a conclusion, Teiku, we don't have an answer to this question of whether Seir is considered a new entity or it's a classification of either Chametz or Matzah. This is what the Gemara has. So in essence, the Gemara, it has a Sofik about Seir, if Seir is considered the type of Seir of Rabbi Yehuda, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Is Seir a new thing? Is it a new entity? Or is it something that we don't know if it's Chametz or Matzah, but it's for sure one of the two. But in any case, the Gemara said the Nafkimino of this Sofik, the difference of this Sofik, is whether Shimon, in a case where Shimon wanted to go and contribute his breads for exempting Reuven. Now it seems from this Gemara, and this is where I would like to say a shir about something that's practical, that it seems from the Gemara that if Reuven makes a neder to bring a carbon, or l'chayra, the same thing, if he'll make a neder to donate, to give money to tzedakah, then Shimon could come along and exempt Reuven from his neder, from his vow, by that he is the one that fulfills the vow. If Shimon comes along and pays, donates, gives, supplies, whatever Reuven said in a nether that he would do, that would exempt Reuven. That is l'chayra what we see from the Gemara. And in fact, there is a shaila, the tshuva is only gumt of Simon Pei Zayin, that he has a whole long tshuva about this topic, and he brings our Gemara. He talks about a case that there was a father that had a son, and his son was poor, and his son made a neder, his son made a promise to give tzedakah a large amount of money. And the father knew that his son had no way of fulfilling that neder, fulfilling that promise. And the aveira of being nichshel with a neder, it's a tremendous aveira. If someone makes a neder and they don't fulfill their neder, and the father cared about his son and wanted to exempt the son from this aveira, wanted to exempt the son from his nether. So the father went up and he supplied all the tzedakah money that the son vowed to give, with the purpose of exempting the son. So the Anigamti wants to know, discusses, is that an exemption to the son? Does it work? The son is the one who made a promise that he's going to give money to tzedakah. Can somebody else give in his place and then it will be considered a fulfillment of the nether? Does it work like that? So he says, the first thing the Oni Yom Tov says, L'chayra, you have a raya from our Gemara. Our Gemara says that Shimon can go and supply, contribute breads for Reuven's toida. And the Gemara seems like if he would supply it, it would work, it would exempt Reuven from his obligation of bringing breads for the carbon taida. So comes the Negyamtiv, and the Negyamtiv says there's two ways, how I could explain our Gemara, that our Gemara is not a riot to this question. And he says, first of all, you could say that our Gemara is talking about that Reuven, that made a promise to bring a carbon toida, he never made a promise he's going to bring a carbon toida. You could say that our Gemara is talking about that Reuven just designated an animal, that animal would be a carbon toida. Now once the animal is a carbon toida, he'll have to bring that animal to the Beis HaMikdash, bring it in the way that a carbon toida is brought, and that in itself will obligate him to bring breads with it. The laws of bringing a carbon, that's a carbon toida, include that he has to bring bread with it. So it comes out, he never made a promise. Our Gemara is not a case where he made a promise. He's going to bring breads. He never promised such a thing. He designated the animal as a carbon. Now, it just happens to be that the way of bringing the carbon is that it will have, there's a need to bring breads with it. Okay, so then somebody else could supply the breads. So that's a whole different case. You can't compare a son that made a neder, a promise that he's going to donate money to tzedakah, from a case where somebody designated animals a carbon, and then on the side, it happens to be there's a halacha that he can't bring that animal unless he brings breads with it. That's one way the Enigamtif gets out of our Gemara. The second way the Enigamtif gets out of the Gemara is he says, really, you could say, I can tell you, Agimar is talking about that Reuven said a promise that he's going to bring a carbon toida. He obligated himself to bring a carbon toida. The nether, the promise, the vow, was to bring a carbon toida. However, even if somebody says that, all he said was the carbon toida. He said he's going to bring a carbon toida. What's a carbon toida? Says the Enigamtif, carbon toida is the animal. Toida, the carbon toida includes two parts. There's the animal, which is shechted, something similar to shlamim. Not exactly, but similar. And then together with that, he has to bring breads. 40 breads. So really, his nether was to bring a toida, which really is just the animal. When someone makes a nether, this is a little bit of a chiddush, but this is what the Enigamtif goes on to say. That if someone makes a neder, a promise, to bring a carbon toida, all they're making a promise is that they're going to bring that animal of the carbon toida. Then it happens to be, like we said before, the person who designated animal for a carbon toida, it's the same thing when he promised to bring a carbon toida, that it happens to be that once he's going to bring the animal, that it's a halacha, it's a side halacha, it's a condition of bringing the animal, is that he has to go ahead and bring lachmei toida together with it. So then again, it would not be a proof to our case of where the son made a promise to give a donation of money, so there perhaps he himself has to give it. And therefore, the Oinigyamtif wants to say l'halacha l'maisa, that if the father gave the money instead of his son, the son has not fulfilled his nether, he has not fulfilled his vow, and therefore, the son must still give the money. So the question is there any way that the father could exempt his son? Suppose we would have such a case, that the son made a nether and he can't fulfill it, the father has money, he wants to exempt his son. So how could the father save his son? So, one Eitzah would for sure work, and that would be easy if he'll give his son the money. He'll give his son the money, that his son will be kind of the money, and then afterwards the son will take the money and give it to Tzedakah like the nether was. Another possibility, the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat written by Avloy, this is in Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat Perek Dalet Orat HaZayin, he says, he wants to say that it would be enough if the father would just let the son know that he's doing it on his behalf, then already the father would be considered a shliach, an agent of the son to give it. It would not be required to actually give the money over, to make the money be acquired to the son. It would be enough, according to his opinion, that the son would know already. The mere fact that the son knows would make it that the father is considered an agent, and Fashteitzach, the son, is allowed to send a shliach to give it on his behalf. Then the Tzedakah Mishpat says another point. Let's say the father did not tell the son that he was giving it on the son's behalf. The father wanted to exempt the son, and without telling the son anything, he gave it, the money to Tzedakah on the son's behalf. Now, he came to the Rav and he wants to know if his son is exempt. And the Rav told him, this Einig Yomtif, that Einig Yomtif says that the son is not exempt. So the father said, 1 minute, I only gave the money because I was trying to exempt my son. If I'm not exempting my son, I'm not giving the money. So what's the halacha then? So the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat says that l'chayra, he can get his money back, he can demand his money back, and he could obligate that organization or that recipient of his money, he can obligate them to return the money. Such a thing is a matana betos. The donation that the father gave to exempt his son was a mistake, since he never really exempted his son. And therefore he could get the money back, and once he'll get the money back, then, of course, he could redo it in the proper way with either letting his son know, or making a schia to the son, and with that, he will exempt the son. However, written in the Sefer Chashukei Chemer, Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein has a Sefer, where he disagrees. He had a very interesting story. He said there was a story of somebody that made a bar mitzvah, a Shabbos bar mitzvah in a shul. And he had many guests that came for Shabbos. And the guests got aliyahs, and they made mishaberichs. And part of the mishaberich, it says, the reason why they're making a mishaberich, Hashem should bench the people who they choose to bench in the schos, that he's donating money to tzedakah, that he's promising to give money to tzedakah. And there were many mishaberichs, much money was promised to be given to the shul. And after Shabbos, the Baal Simcha, the one making the Simcha, went to the Gabbai, and he asked him to calculate the entire amount of all the donations, all the commitments that were made by the mishaberichs on Shabbos. And the Baal Simcha paid it all out. Then he found out about this Einig Yomtiv, that the Einig Yomtiv says he doesn't exempt. The fact that the Baal Simcha pays for everyone's mishaberich, he wanted to do everyone a favor. He was so happy that they came and participated in the Simcha. He wanted to be the sponsor of not only the Simcha, but even the promises of the mishaberich money. He wanted to be the sponsor there too. And now that he finds out that he's not exempting them, so he wants his money back. So let it be another toast. So he wants to say over there that it's not a total nether toast. Perhaps this Baal Simcha can't get the money back. Since, even if he's not exempting them from their obligation, he somehow helped the people that came to him in a certain way. Even if we'll say that these people, even if we'll go like the Einig Yomtiv, that these people that made a neder, made a mishaberich, made a neder, they're obligated on their own to give the money, and somebody else, if he gave the money on their behalf, it won't work, like the Einig Yomtiv. Even if that's true. But this Baal Simcha that did pay, because they made a mishaberich, they got some schus. This Baal Simcha, why is the Baal Simcha giving the money, the mishaberich money that they promised? Because he wants to help those people that made a mishaberich. He wants to give them a schos. Says it made chesulvashin l'chayr, he did give them a schos. With that he gave money in the merit related as a cause, because they made the mishaberich, that caused them to give them money, donate the money to the shul. That alone is a help, a benefit to those people that made the mishaberich. And therefore, perhaps, if Nader told him that Nader told, if he would realize that he is helping all those people that made him Mishaberech, perhaps he wouldn't back out. And therefore, you can't say that for sure it was a toast. And since you can't say it's for sure a toast, if it's Chazal Mashin, it's Choshish that it could be, he can't get his money back. So it seems like there's a little machloikas here between the Sefer Tzedakah of Mishpat and the Chazal Mashin. Be that as it may, the main halacha is that if a person wants to exempt somebody else's neder, they should not do it without making either a zchiya or at the very least notifying the person that made the neder, because according to this Einig Yomtiv, it would not work for for one person to fulfill the neder of another person.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.